So we are reconvening from executive session at 7:07. And so the next order of business is an action from executive session. Somebody like to make a motion?
Okay, yeah. So we were discussing the pay rate schedule for assignments that are not in any of the collective bargaining agreements. So I will, and these are rates for the fiscal year 23 budget. So I'll make a motion to approve the per diem pay rates as outlined by John Ferris in the pay rate summary, effective for rates effective July 1st, 2023, except for the food service substitute and paraeducator substitute rates that would be effective immediately.
Do we have a second?
I have a second.
Thank you, Michelle. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's adopted. Number 4.1 is minutes of the school committee meeting held on March 7th, 2022.
I will make a motion to approve the minutes of the school committee meeting held March 7th, 2022.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Yes. Okay. I added some edits that are in your folders, roll call vote for the executive session was added. There were some typos corrected, and then there are questions and comments from the community. It was regarding pay raises for paraeducator substitutes, not just paraeducators. And then in the discussion in the subcommittee project reports, when I was reporting on the discussion from the wellness committee regarding a recommendation on the athletic fee changes, it was to be for it about different fees for multiple sports, not different sports. So those were the main, the other things were just grammatical corrections that the Microsoft Word told us to make.
Okay.
All right.
Shall we want to amend your motion?
I will amend the motion to accept the minutes of the school committee meeting held on March 7th as amended by Member Liza O'Reilly.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Minutes are adopted. 4.2 is minutes of the school committee held on March 8th, 2022, which was the joint meeting with the select board and advisory committee.
I will make a motion to approve the minutes of the joint meeting, the select board and advisory committee of March 8th.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion of this one? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
I have to abstain because I wasn't at that meeting.
Okay. So Tim abstains, but the minutes are adopted. And 4.3 is approval of the minutes of the school committee meeting held on March 9th, 2022, which was the joint meeting with ACES.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of the joint meeting with ACES on March 9th, 2022.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion of this one? Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And I'm abstaining from this one. Okay, 5 is questions and comments. And I just wanted to note tonight that we are streaming this through Facebook Live. Thank you, Heather. And so people should be able to see us through Facebook. If anyone has any comments or questions, either during this period or as we go throughout the night, Ness Correnti is monitoring the page so she can read it. I would note that there's a 20-second or so lag for Facebook. So if you can get the questions in so we can keep rolling and we don't miss anyone, that would be really helpful. So this is questions and comments. The Hingham School Committee encourages community engagement and welcomes questions and comments as agenda items are discussed at the meeting. In addition, we have set aside up to 15 minutes at the beginning of the meeting for comments or questions that fall under the purview of the school committee and are not already on tonight's agenda. If any guests wish to speak, please raise your hand, state your name and address, and address your comment to the chairperson. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker and must relate to topics within the scope of responsibility of the school committee. As established by Massachusetts general laws, the responsibilities of the school committee are to 1, select and evaluate the superintendent, 2, review and approve budgets for public education in the district, and 3, establish educational goals and policies for the schools in the district. Speakers are encouraged to present their remarks in a respectful manner and to consider the privacy interests of others. The public comment period is not a time for debate or response to comments by the school committee. The school committee is not adopting or endorsing any of the comments made during the public comment period. So I'll ask first if anyone in the room has any comments or questions. Okay, seeing none, are there any on Facebook?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll give it just a second. Okay, we'll move on to the superintendent's report. Dr. Mazur.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everybody without a TV monitor or a display in front of me. It's pretty nice to be able to be here. So thank you all for being here tonight. I have a few items to report on. Just want to let you all know that things are going well with the mask optional feature here in Hingham schools. On Friday, we'll continue to publish the information relative to COVID positive cases. Heather Cashman, who works out of this office, is helping us along with Sherry Robertson, who's been very helpful in getting this information out. So we'll continue to do that. The numbers have been very stable in the last couple of weeks, so we're pretty excited about that, actually. The next thing I want to report on is job searches. We have 3 job searches going on. We have Foster Elementary, which is really getting to that point where we can actually select somebody, and that's going to happen relatively soon. East is in process, and that begins tomorrow. Tomorrow, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. That's going to be another exciting one, and also the school business administrator for John Ferris. I think that position is narrowing down as well. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have our administrative openings will be filled, and that will be great. But I'd also like to report that I've been working, as well as many of the administrators that are here tonight, with Dr. Adams on transition. We've had a number of meetings, a lot of phone calls, just getting her acclimated, prepared for Hingham and what the challenges are and what the benefits are and all the relationships that have to be made in this community to really do the job that she really is excited to do. So we're pretty excited about that. One of the things that we haven't mentioned that I want, I think the school committee is aware of it, but the general community, you know, graduation is June 4th. Also, it's at 10 a.m., okay? It's not gonna be in the evening, it's at 10 a.m., and I think that's been advertised. I just wanna make sure that everyone's aware that that's, I know Hingham has done evening graduations before. Last year was a 10 a.m., this year it'll be a 10 a.m., and I want everyone to be aware of that. I have information regarding the strategic plan, and I'll talk about that under that agenda item. But I do want to publicly reach out to Norwell. I know over the weekend they had a very tragic situation with students, and from the Hingham School Department to Norwell, we just want to share our thoughts are with the families and the school district under a most difficult time, and that's something that I hope all of us can reach out to people, friends, colleagues in Norwell, just to share our condolences and our good thoughts. So knowing people from Norwell, I just think it's at least a good for us to acknowledge what they've been through, what they're going through, and what they will continue to go through. With that said, I'll turn it back.
Thank you. Next is communications, 7.1 or student communications. Elijah, welcome.
Thank you.
First in-person school committee meeting.
Yeah, right. I just have 2 reports from a student club and also our senior class student government that I've been very across. And the first one being our executive board, headed by our president, Luke McDonald, was organizing this past week a charity fundraiser for the charity Sunflowers for Peace, which is a humanitarian effort for the current situation in Ukraine. And they're still actually working on counting up the money from that, but it's upwards of $700 have been raised in about a week. They say it could be as much as 1,000, but we're not sure. I shouldn't say we. I didn't have any part of it, but I did donate. Anyway, and also on March 11th, just over a week ago, you may have heard the GSA organized a walkout, and I have a statement from one of the vice presidents of that club, so I'm going to read. Last Friday, the Hingham High School GSA organized a walkout at HSS in protest of the quote-unquote Don't Say Gay bill in Florida that bans the mention of sexual orientation or gender identity in elementary schools, and the anti-trans order that went into effect in Texas that classifies parents allowing their children to receive gender reassignment services as child abuse. Students were only informed of this event a few hours before it occurred, but hundreds still decided to peacefully exit their E-block classes and join together in the courtyard for 20 minutes of commemoration for those affected by these new governmental orders. The GSA would like to thank the students of the Hingham High School, those who chose not to join us, as well as those who did not, those who chose to join us, as well as those who did not, for conducting themselves and expressing their personal beliefs in such a civilized and respectful manner. We would also like to thank the teachers for supporting their students and the decisions they made, and their immense flexibility with their class schedule, especially on such short notice, and the administration for supervising the event and protecting those in attendance from facing repercussions. The GSA was astounded by the immense positivity, support, and sense of community that was present during and following the protest. And I personally can attest to the sense of community that arose immediately after that. And that's all I have.
Thank you. That was really well done. Any questions for Elijah?
Right, the walkout also happened at the middle school as well.
Oh, terrific.
Yes, it did. Yes.
Great. Okay. 7.2 is communications received by the superintendent. Do you have anything?
I do not.
Okay. 7.3 is other communications. Does anyone have anything to report? No? I will just say that emails from parents about the school budget, and especially the fine arts director, continued to roll in, and I was copied on it. I think they didn't want to fill up everybody's email boxes, but I just wanted to make sure you knew that they have continued to come in. So 8 is unfinished business. 8.1 is to discuss HPS financial forecast and federal grants and to act as appropriate.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start off. I just want to, first of all, thank the select board and the finance, what do we call it?
Advisory committee.
Advisory committee for finance here in Hingham for their work. I'd also like to thank the school committee for their work in supporting a budget that was presented. One of the most difficult times in a school year is developing a budget. It's very cumbersome. It's a projection. It really looks at services needed in school districts. And I think the last couple of years has been extremely challenging for school districts to build a budget that really reflects the needs of the school district. And on top of that, most school districts have received funds that they never ever realized they'd be receiving to actually help subsidize some of the challenges that school districts are having. And the wisdom of some of these opportunities actually have made budget available for years to come. And with that said, it makes our job as educator leaders managing budgets, it's a challenge. Because one thing that we didn't realize, 3-4 years ago is, we would have an influx of people that aren't leaving education. And I think if you open Education Week newspapers, I receive information from a blog that I follow relative to jobs that are open around the country, you start to see this pattern of people leaving education. And for us in Hingham, it's not a huge number, but it's still that number of people that are leaving education, retiring, creates a level of havoc to the budget when you build a budget that's built on assumptions. And that's what we have to build on. And it's something that we predict and we try to project. So that's a challenge that we've really had to deal with the last couple of years. And it's really nice to know that the federal government has really tried to help schools to make ends meet for some really difficult situations. And some of those situations have really, we've known that kids not being in school, the amount of hours that they normally were in school in front of direct contact has really caused some level of disruption in education, and we're trying to figure out what that means. Dr. Jamie has provided a presentation to this group that really highlights how we're beginning to address some of those needs. I think our work is just beginning. Our work is needed, and we'll continue to do that. So when you start putting a budget together, we're trying to build a budget on what's known today. And what's known today is we're full of challenges. And I think as the days go forward, the months, the years, we'll start identifying with a great deal of certainty what our students need. The budget that we presented is a snapshot in time. And we have a lot of work to do to be able to fill the needs and the voids of what this district needs. One of the things that we've heard loud and clear, the school committee has, even when I first got here, there are some needs that the school district is really looking at. You know, I think the fine arts coordinator is one, was mentioned earlier. We've talked about supports for students. We were able to address it this year. We'll continue to look at what that means for the years to come. But that makes all of this projection makes it extremely difficult for a business office to really take a look at what those needs are and how we address it when you have an influx of money coming in that is really spread out over years. And then you start taking a look at voids, requirements that a community may have and the desires that a school community has. And I think we've really tried to do that. When Mr. Ferris presented that we are looking at a snapshot in time of our budget and a projection and a forecast, that is really a snapshot of where we are at that particular time. It changes. We won't know what that looks like until the end of the year, closer to the close of the school year. And I can tell you, our schools have been so focused on trying to fill the voids of COVID that we need to really remind all of our administrators, all of our program leaders in the district to really fulfill the obligations that we have built in our budget. And they will continue to do that. They do that. This is a year that's been unusual, just like last year. But when it comes into expanding our budget the way it was built, sometimes it takes a while. And I think Mr. Ferris will be realizing those expenditures and his staff will be realizing those expenditures and those encumbrances as we move forward towards the end of the school year. We're getting really close. And I think one of the things that this school committee has been challenged with in the last couple of weeks is, how are we going to close the year out? And I'll tell you, we have a lot of work to do still. And I'm excited to know that there's a great deal of support in this community to really help the school district to thrive. But I want everyone to know that there are some priorities that the school committee has. And that is that those priorities were built on a budget that they have continued to support. They will continue to walk down that road and carry that ball as far as they can until town meeting and after town meeting. So as we take a look at the projections that we have in the weeks to come, we're in contact with the town, with Tom Mayo and his staff on a weekly basis. We're still in that challenging mode of really trying to figure out what we have at the end of the year. School districts across the country are in the same boat. I was in my former school district. There was a time where we gave 25 cents back at the end of the year, 50 cents back at the end of the year, and at times we gave back $50,000 at the end of the year, or even $100,000. And it really depended on the kind of work that we had going on in the district, the kind of hiring patterns that we had. I think John has really left a legacy in how he's built budgets in the years past. The district is going to be challenged on how we can continue that model. But it's a unique time. We're working really hard to give this community a sense of understanding of where we are moving forward. And I give the school committee a great deal of credit for standing firm on what they believe is important, and our administrators for highlighting exactly what they think they need to accomplish this job. I do have a caution moving forward. I won't be here, Dr. Adams will be, but there will be a continued plea for needs, staffing needs in this district. There will be a continued need for staffing in this district. I know some people probably don't want to hear that, but on the other side, this committee has an obligation to listen to what's happening in the schools, what's happening in programs, and I believe they have an obligation to try to fill it. So that's where we are right now. I can't tell you where we'll be, you know, the last day in June. But I will tell you that this school committee and this office, under John's direction, financially, will do everything we can to try to expend our budget to the best of our ability to fill the voids that we have and also to make sense of funding that is flexible till 2024, which is something that we had no idea. The ESSER funds is a wild card in this whole thing. So I know I've talked a lot about this. I want this community to realize that I have a great deal of faith in the business office with the school committee and the direction that they set. And I think we'll see how things go from this point to town meeting. It's a difficult time. I know there's a lot of financial obligations in this community to meet in the future. We got Foster, we have potential overrides, we have a bond that needs to get set for Foster moving forward. So I know the school department is ready for the challenge to support this community to make ends meet, but here we go. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I would just say for members of the public that the advisory committee did meet last week to discuss the education budget. And we, as a reminder, we had voted on a 1.43% increase over, which is pretty modest, over the past year. They approved a 0.06% increase, which did not include any of the additional positions. So with that being said, I'd just open it up for comments, questions from the committee.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll just add that I completely agree with Dr. Maestas. I think this is a normal part of the business and budget process. I don't think it's cause for concern. It's certainly not a surplus. It is a point in time. It's a picture as of today, but that doesn't mean we can't pivot and make other decisions. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue to monitor that.
Right. Michelle?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Dr. Maestas. I would also just add that it's a great position to be in as we sit here on March 21st, but the year is not over, right?
Right.
We've got 3 more months of school, at least, right? Hopefully no more snow days. And there's plenty of time to figure out what we can do with these funds. And as we heard over and over again from the meetings that we've attended over the budget season, the funds allocated to the school department are the school committee's decision and the school department's decision on how to spend those. And we have the funds available and the needs are very great. We are grateful that we've gotten so much additional funding from the government, and thank goodness, because mm-hmm. without it, I really don't know where we'd be. So the needs are as great as the funding sources have been. So we will find the best use for those funds.
Mm-hmm. Great. Anyone else have anything?
Go ahead. So later in the agenda, we're going to discuss budget update. So we'll discuss the fiscal 23 budget update, and then I'm assuming we're getting a proposal from you of how to make adjustments to that to meet the needs that we had outlined. But that, are we going to hear from you on that?
Yeah,
and then, with this variance, I thought I was going to hear more details tonight. Are we using any of this variance to close the gap for fiscal 23?
I would expect that we would. I would expect we'd be using some ESSER funding to do that.
Okay. Close the gap for 23.
The 23 will be a combination of changes that take place in the budget, which you'll see some in the budget update. And then, you know, anything beyond that to close this gap, we would have that ESSER funding available to us, because the ESSER funding can be spent for 23 and 24.
Okay, well, also if there are a few, I guess I'll wait till the budget, the 23 budget. So if I understand, so right now, for the status of the fiscal 22 budget, there's nothing new on how their proposals of how we're using that variance at this time, other than transferring ESSER funding to fiscal 23. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, not spending some of the ESSER funding all in 22,
right.
Reserving that for additional spending in 23 and 24.
Okay.
So that's a big portion of.
Okay, and then you'll come back to us of proposals on how the fiscal 22, the variance will be used at a later time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, the pullback of that significantly reduces any variance, and we've already
right.
made some purchases and textbook adoptions and other items that are in play, and then we will focus on some capital items as well.
Okay, but we're not hearing that tonight.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, sorry, thank you. And I just want to clarify that because these are new funding source, it is unusual for a district to be able to hold the funds for their own use.
Absolutely.
For the future years, correct? Like, this is not funds that are going back to the town.
No.
Okay, right. Just wanted to clarify.
The funds
yeah.
are not drawn upon.
Yes.
It's up to the schools to draw upon those funds. And,
mm-hmm.
We would not intend to draw upon a number of those funds, okay?
Mm-hmm, right.
So that will, and those funds will then be available for use in 23 as well as 24,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because they're not in now, so they were not gonna go back to the town. They're gonna be drawn upon as the school department considers necessary.
So if I understand it correctly, we had originally planned to use a certain number of ESSER funds for this year because there's some extra money available,
right.
we would use that instead and use the ESSER funds for other purposes potentially.
Yep.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I think that's something that most of the districts in the United States are doing as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Extending that money out through the 2 years.
Right.
Well, I if I could.
Yeah, sure.
I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind is this money is purposeful in having flexibility because there are some unknowns. And I think Hingham has been very conservative in how we approach it because we're still concerned about what the future looks like. So I think it's a benefit to have a balance. And I think that just kind of fits with the funding model that this district has really looked at for years, is how do we look at not using everything, because you don't know what's going to happen next year. We didn't know, if you take a look at where things were a year ago, we didn't know that we would have some of the challenges that we had to meet this year. And we had funding that could actually backfill that. And I certainly hope that next year is going to be a little bit smoother. I think it will. I won't be here. But I don't want to leave Dr. Adams without any resource, right? And I think that's what we're talking about.
And I guess I would just add, the positions we had, it was a very modest request this year, and they were crucial. Like, we know that they're crucial, which is why we voted on it and have stood by it. And I think we need to find a way to make that happen. I mean, no matter what the town did what they did. One thing I heard loud and clear in their meeting was, this is the school committee's money to do with, so you should spend it, and that includes the ESSER funding and any grants that we have too. So I think we should do it, and we have to take care of our students. Like, that's so okay. Does anyone in the public have any questions or comments about? Yeah, if you could just state your name and address, please.
Susan Wetzel. Is this on?
Yep, it's on.
Susan Wetzel, 239 High Street. We're having difficulty with you talking between yourselves, some of us here, and we can't hear you. So I don't know what you did before you had Zoom, but if you have a microphone with a little bit, it would be helpful to some of us. When you talk like to each other quietly, it's very difficult to hear. So I just wanted the committee to know that. We're delighted that you're back in public, but we'd like to hear you in public.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. And so the microphones that we have are for Harbor Media. That's why they're not helping, but we can all speak up. So
yes. Yeah, they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not amplifying microphones.
Yeah.
They just
pick they're
up.
For the
so we just have to talk louder.
Yeah, so
we need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can speak up for now. So, but thank you for letting us know.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anyone on Facebook who has any comments or questions about the budget?
Not yet.
Josh.
Oh, sorry, Josh. Or Josh, and then Matt.
Yeah.
Okay, that was just, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Joshua Ross, 125 Wampatuck Road. Can you guys just clarify, because it was a little confusing, the $400,000 in ESSER funds is not getting returned to the town, correct? Is this
yeah.
an agreement of
yeah.
everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the projections that they showed from the town using that as an offset is not happening, right?
Correct.
That's correct.
Is there any more discussion about the money put aside towards the special education? I think it was like $350. Are you guys still, is that kind of set in stone? Or I'm just curious because no one's really talked about this in the last week and a half, and I was told you guys would be discussing this tonight, and doesn't seem like you're really discussing it in specificity about what to do with kind of this money.
Ernest.
So we had a finance, capital, and facility subcommittee meeting last week where we spent a couple hours talking with John on different things that might happen in the budget. So I suspect John will have some update when he gives his budget update later this evening. But as Dr. Maestas had noted, we want to make sure that we capture the full picture of what's going to happen, and we're going to continue to monitor, and we'll make determinations as we move forward. But I think John will have some update for us when he speaks.
So is there a time frame you guys are, because it really is only 3 months to the end of the year, and I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, John, but you said at the last meeting you were pretty sure on that number. You were going through everything twice and three times with a fine-tooth comb, and you were pretty certain on that 1.7, and now, you know, we heard tonight that, you know, it's a little fluid. So I'm just trying to reconcile this whole thing, because, you know, 1.7 is a lot of money, and as Kerry said, there are a lot of needs, and it seems to me that with the ESSER funds, since it can be carried over, it's almost a no-brainer to go out and get an arts director that you can fully fund for 2 years. And so I'm just curious on what the next steps are, I guess.
Right. Okay, I had some suggestions, but, you know, none of those suggestions were, we didn't vote on any of those. Okay, so we can continue looking at the situation. But, you know, you talked about the ESSER funding, okay? We have spent $400,000 worth of ESSER funding, but we have not spent $900,000, okay? So it's quite possible that $900,000 will be pulled back. I'm just telling you what some other options are, okay? You know, in addition, we have bought some curriculum. I mean, once we identified what it was and we heard some discussion, we started taking some actions, and we intend to continue taking actions to help us to bring 22 in on budget, to perhaps help 23 so that it gets fully funded with, you know, we get all of the positions and all of the functions that we need for 23, and perhaps have some for 24 so that we can help towards that budget as well. So the plan is still very fluid right now, okay? But there are tools on the table. I had suggested some the other day, you know, we may not go with a special education, but maybe we will, all right? But we're gonna use all the tools that are available to us.
Okay, and so does the committee have a sort of a time frame with their?
There's a reason we're doing this in March instead of in June. Like, that's normally when this kind of discussion happens, because there is more money than we're used to having at this point. That's the reason we're doing it. And yeah, I mean, we have to do it, but a lot of it is going to be seeing where the business office lands as far as this goes. And I think it's going to be an ongoing discussion. I understand people want answers right now. I just say we can't give you an answer tonight.
Okay.
One other thing I would add, Josh, so the budget is still changing, right, because we're getting new information every day. Every year, as we proceed with the budget, we start in January, and then as we go along, changes happen that we become, you know, knowledgeable about. The budget is still changing, and I would expect that it's going to continue to change for the next couple of months. So at least we know we have some sources now, and we can take constructive action before June 30th comes around. And, you know, between now and then, I expect there'll be some additional savings to the proposed 23 budget so that we get closer and closer to the number that we need. And I believe it can be supplemented with ESSER funds so that we're going to be in fine shape for 23 and in good shape for 24. That's what I believe right now.
Right.
But I don't have all the details there, but that's what I believe.
Yeah, and I think what I'm hearing from the committee is that people want to spend the money. Like, it's not, yes. it, that's, I mean, from everyone, like the we have a lot of needs and there are a lot of things we can do with it. We want to do it in a smart way. We don't want to spend money just to spend money, but yeah, nobody's talking about, you know, I don't know. We're looking at how to work through this, and it's just going to take more than a couple of weeks to do. That's all.
No, I get it, mm-hmm. but I. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, Liza.
That's why I asked the question I asked earlier, because for me personally, my priority is to get fiscal 23 back to where our goals of the resources we needed for the schools as first.
Yep.
And if we need to use fiscal 22 or ESSER in order to make sure that we have those critical needs for fiscal 23, which the town wasn't able to come up with this year, and then also to, you know, as John said, is strategizing for fiscal 24, because right now in the forecast for the town, there's a $5.5 million deficit, and that's not adding anything, and that's not adding any school things. It's not adding the police and fire that the town cut. So that's a huge deficit. And as much as I want an override, I mean, it's, and I hear people supporting an override, that is, there's a reality of a big risk there. And so we're, you know, we're trying to be realistic too, I think, of looking at, you know, can we use ESSER funds for 24 so that if we add this fine arts director, we actually can say, all right, we got funding for 23 and 24. Whereas, you know, you hear on the town side, don't add any people because it's an operating budget and that's not sustainable. Well, if we can come up with a solution that is sustainable, that protects us, that's what we're trying to figure out. And it's going to take a little time to get the details, and I think we have some time to sort that out.
I get it, I understand the budget and the process. I just want to convey, on behalf of, you know, myself and a lot of people, frankly, hundreds over the last 2 years who have advocated for the budget, spent hours at meetings, emailed, called. It's frustrating when we see money given back last year, potentially money given back this year, when we are telling you this is what we want you to do with it. Mm-hmm. And so I understand it's a process, but I just don't want us to be in the same position we were last year and come to the end of the year and we don't have any, we have money left over.
Yeah, again, that's why we're talking about it in March.
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just want to point out, and I mentioned this earlier, but the big difference this year, as opposed to any other years in the past, is that we have money that can be used, can be rolled over. It doesn't necessarily have to go back to the town. It's a different situation than past years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Carlos.
And Josh, I want to thank you on your role with the town PTOs and advocating, you know, for us to actually spend the money that town meeting voted, you know, to spend in the schools. We're very grateful for your support and all the parents' support out there. And we understand that. That is why we're actually taking this approach. We had several conversations, and as Dr. Maestro explained, the year is not over, right? You still have 4 months to go, and there's a lot to be done. Hopefully, you know, we are going to show to voters and to the residents that the money are being utilized efficiently. Because we do have a lot of gap, and we need to close those gaps. So I want to thank you for advocating.
Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other comments in the room? No. Anything on Facebook?
Nothing yet.
Okay. Great. Thank you. All right. So we can move on to the strategic plan update.
Yeah, I have a couple of updates. I just want to let everyone know that we put a strategic plan survey out last week. As of tonight, we have 123 responses. I was hoping for 1,023 responses, but please take an opportunity to complete that survey. We will keep sending out the link so people can actually have access to it, and this is for stakeholders across the board. It's parents, students, stakeholders, anyone that has an interest in the school system. We're looking for that contribution. our first strategic planning organizational meeting for the team that's actually building the strategic plan is April 6th. We actually moved that meeting because the survey is necessary, the data is necessary to actually do that. We had a delay in the survey and getting it out. It's a very complex survey that we had to, we were going to use one mechanism, it didn't work, so we actually went to a little bit simpler model and was released last week. So we did have an initial glitch with it, and the glitch was repaired. I actually built it myself, so the problem lies between the keyboard and the chair. So I think that's one of the issues that we were able to resolve, and it got resent out. And I want to thank everyone who have you know, really participated, and please send that link out. We'll have it sent out again. Heather's here tonight, so we'll have her continually send that out to people. Please forward it to, if you had graduates in the school system, if they were the last 3 years, please have them completed as a former student. If they are beyond the three, they can submit as a community stakeholder. We'd love to hear from them. Okay, thank you. So, yes.
And that was one thing I wanted to clarify. So it's stakeholders. That's any community member too.
Any community
it's any
member.
Taxpayer. You know, if
absolutely.
You want to fill it out.
If you want to hear.
Is it on the website?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where is it? Is it?
It's nested under. I can show you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Is there a way to put it like up front so?
Prominent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can make
yeah.
it more accessible. Absolutely.
That would be great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Garrett, yep. Gary, do you have a, I don't know if you can get this preliminary information, but whether it's the sense that we have a lot of parents, a lot of community members, and
yeah.
there's any areas that we need to kind of
give
push
give me
it
one
towards,
second.
Making sure that it's reaching all those.
Actually, we, as of right now, we have 282 responses. Sorry, my number was incorrect. The 123 was with the faulty survey that I sent out, and I want to apologize to 123 parents that actually submitted it. Right now, we have 64.9% of respondents are parents. 15% are classroom staff. We have 6.4% are students. You know, it's a smaller, you know, support staff's 4.6%. But again, like it's been mentioned here tonight, it's for anyone, okay? And there will be, there's categories there for different stakeholder groups. You know, if you're a grandparent, we want you to fill it out. You know, if you're, you know, a current staff member, we want you to fill it out. Administration, fill it out. School committee members, please fill it out. So thank you so much. It takes about 15 minutes, depending on how lengthy you are in the responses. Some parents have submitted about 5 paragraphs in some of the response sections, but please take the time to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Elijah, do you think you could help us get it out to the
students?
I was
about to ask if you want me to do that.
Absolutely, Elijah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I was going to ask the question, how did that get sent out to the students? Is that happening through parents, or was something sent
to the
students?
It's all parents. I'm going to, the schools will be sending it out via student communication to be able to get it to middle school and high school. Okay?
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Heather? Oh, Heather?
It was sent through ASPET to students.
Oh, great. Okay.
High school students and then grade 7 and 8.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's
great.
Why we have communications for communications.
Yeah.
I don't know what Apple Watch does for me.
All right. Thank you. All right. 8.3 is a budget update. Did we cover it, or did we?
Well, I'm happy to talk about it. Since the preliminary budget, I've got changes here relative to retirements and other, you know, there's some retirements in here. There's some reduced sections that, you know, they didn't fill for retirement. There's, you know, some LOAs that are extending.
They can't hear you. Just speak up.
Still not good.
Just talk really loud so we can hear.
Okay. What's that? Okay. Since, I'm sorry, I have to work.
You have people, we want to hear you.
Yes, yes. So from the preliminary budget, I have changes totaling right now $325,956. Okay, and that's relative from teacher, that's really from teacher retirements that were planned after the budget got rolled out in January, new information that we received. that puts our budget, when we had a 1.43, the budget is would be really the same as 0.9 right now. I would be showing from ADCOM recommended appropriation, which they recommended the 61,826,503. We still need about $524,653 to meet the budget, everything that was in our budget that we need. Okay, I expect more changes will continue between now and the next couple of months too, which should further reduce that. And that's where, you know, my opinion is that in addition to some ESSER funding, we should be in fine shape to make our budget for 23, and we should have money to help in 24 as well.
Are you showing you know, we talked about this 1.7, and we talked some of that will be replacing ESSER funds. Is what do you have a sense of how much money at this point in time might be available for other uses?
From the okay, so I think that if we looked at the 1.7 that I talked about before, if we're pulling back 900,000 or more from ESSER,
mm-hmm.
okay,
yep,
that's going to leave somewhere in the vicinity of the 800,000. But we have purchased about $180,000 worth of textbooks,
mm-hmm.
You know, for the textbook adoption. So, you know, and there could be changes going on between the budget, you know, not necessarily reducing this budget, but, you know, with the word, all those unspent monies, they'll start getting encumbered,
mm-hmm.
which they are starting to get encumbered now, okay? So that could change significantly, and the energy consumption could change significantly as well, okay? You know, if I'm sitting at this point with, okay, maybe what do I have, 500,000? That could go up or down. That's not a bad place to be right now because we can work with 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can work anywhere between 500,000 and negative 150,000 to, you know, make a good budget. But then I do believe that I want to look at some of the capital projects that we had because we effectively, for our buildings next year, only are getting somewhere like $443,000 of money to keep 10 buildings up. Okay, so I want to look at our capital list and we'll, to the extent that we can move some of the items that we had for 23 into this year, we would do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing all of this planning now, and that's why we're very far ahead of the curve, so that we can, in fact, do this planning, so that we can, in fact, get these projects underway, so we can get them encumbered and we can get them done. Okay, so that's what my thoughts are relative to, you know, bringing this budget to a close for 22.
Mm-hmm.
I think we help 23, we get more work done in 22. We said that capital is big, right? We got $885,000, but 460-some-odd thousand of those dollars is technology. Computers, which we have to replace every year anyways. So it really doesn't help towards our buildings. So 400,000 doesn't cut it. So we can use some of this, any, you know, if I say I have 500, if it does, I can use 500.
Mm-hmm.
I can use that towards these capital projects. Okay? We can also do them for other academics. Dr. Adams has some ideas, you know, she wants a little money, so we can put those in play as well. So I'm not really concerned with bringing this budget in, you know, in good respects, without giving a whole lot of money back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Carlos?
And just to make, you know, clear that for everyone to know that the capital outlay is only, you know, appropriated $800,000, which John is making a reference to, in which 400,000 of that goes to technology. So one of the things that we have been advocating for years is that we have to focus more in preventive maintenance. If we take care of our buildings, then perhaps there's no need to replace them. And because of lack of funds, we never have enough money to do the preventive maintenance. So, you know, perhaps that is one of the things that the money will be utilized, you know, appropriately. And I mean, we did just hire two house doctors that can perform some of the work. It might as well take advantage of that, especially now that we're not getting enough money for the capital outlay.
John, I just don't know if you could mention how much we had actually asked for capital outlay, just to kind of get people an understanding.
Over $1.7 million. It was by $1,756,000, or somewhere in that vicinity. And what we got was the $885,000. And actually, I thought that, you know, the Finance Committee, as we worked through this year in capital, you know, we were trying to be sensitive of town budget as well. Lots of times that number to start with is up around $2.2 million, because it's not like we don't have a five-year capital plan out there where we could be pushing the things in to get them done. But we intentionally, I think, as a committee, we cut it short to say, hey, this sounds like a reasonable figure. We could work with this. We could get this done. Let's go in that direction. So we have a five-year plan. I mean, it shows, you know, there's millions of dollars being spent every year. There'll be $2 million or $3 million or more. And all of those projects can sort of be pushed in to current years, because lots of times what happens is we defer them. So we can't do this year, we'll do it next year. We don't want to do anything that's damaging. We want to make sure we get everything done that's on time, but we like to avoid emergencies as well. We don't want to get into emergencies, because those are very, very expensive. So sometimes you're going to replace something before it's dead. That's the way we should be doing maintenance.
Yeah, and just to clarify, capital outlay, they have a very limited budget themselves. So
it's not them, right?
Yeah, right. No. Yeah.
It's just town constraints.
Yeah, exactly.
Ness?
Yeah, I just wanted to share, too, we, as part of the finance subcommittee meeting last week, we did a deeper dive into the proposal that John had for the special education, putting the $350 into the special education. So we currently have in there $400,000, and we've never used that. So we kind of talked to John about, does it make sense to add to that, given we haven't used it since it was set up, knowing that we were in the predicament a few years back where there were several people who were moving into the district, and so it got tricky as far as trying to fund the out-of-district people, but we haven't touched that since. So one of the things that we said is maybe we don't want to add to the reserve fund, because once we put it in there, we can't get it back out. So that's kind of where that special ed reserve fund went to. We talked about it more at the finance meeting.
But it's not necessarily over yet. I mean, right. We don't, you know, we could end up with new information coming in a couple of weeks saying, hey, we have some placements and might make more sense. So that's what we're saying. We're still in the planning process, but we know we have tools and an approach to get ourselves to go.
Yeah, the tricky thing with that fund is that, you know, it's $400,000, and to your point, we've never used it. But if we got a few move-ins, we could spend that down rapidly, you know, right. And then, we still have to, it's more than a year, so right. That's the tricky thing with that. So, but no, that makes sense, though. Yeah. Did you have something?
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
So the $180,000 in textbooks that you purchased, were those budgeted in fiscal 23 and you're purchasing them now, or...
Is that just not budgeted, and you
realized you needed them, or
they emerged from the equity audit? So we purchased the Scholastic girls in STEM, and Black and Latino boys as the protagonist in classroom collections from K through 5. That was the purchase.
And then we did some science.
I'm not questioning where was it originally budgeted. Or it was not budgeted and you recognized that it was necessary?
So we had money in the equity line, but not enough to actually make the purchase.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had requested, we had put a placeholder in to request the books to expand classroom libraries to have more representation in teachers' classroom collections.
Okay. And I said yes.
That's appropriate.
Can I just say one thing? I want to make sure everybody's clear. We haven't denied anybody in our school systems anything this year. We have not denied anybody anything, okay? I just want to make sure everybody knows that. It's not like, we can't spend. We are making sure that everybody has everything that they need.
Oh, no, I remember the years when you were threw up the red flag and said, hold back. Yeah. We got to meet the budget. And
sometimes
haven't heard that
POs
this year.
Would be closed right now. POs are not closed. They're not intended to close.
Okay. And then in the budget update list, you indicated a reduced section and a reduced FTE. What are those two?
That those two have to do with Foster School. So when Foster, their enrollment hit down, they had planned for this year to have a replacement of a retiree, which did not get replaced.
Yep.
And they were supposed to be taking an FTE from Plymouth River, which was unnecessary. So they were, and those were reflected in this budget, which now removed for 23.
Okay. So as a result of reduced enrollment,
yes,
we have reduced the budget. Okay, yep. I've been asked that question before, so, okay. All right, so.
And I made a $60,000 error. There's like, I duplicated a long-term sub along with the, but I didn't have the LOA out of the budget.
Okay.
And I'll find some going the other way too. They happen.
Okay. So right now we're at 524,643 in order to, we have to identify to meet all of the positions that we had outlined originally in the budget. And we know we have potentially 900,000 in ESSER funding from this year that we could push forward, and then plus other savings. So we are in a comfortable position of closing that gap. It's a matter of determining how to do it the right way.
Correct. And we also have revolving funds.
Right. Which, were we going to talk about that too?
So I had asked John to pull it together and put it in our packet. I don't know whether we want to talk about it now and just tell everybody, give a high level of where we are with the revolving funds. I can just share. There's so at the end of last year in June, we had higher amounts in some of our accounts than we typically do. We did a deep dive into the revolving funds as part of the finance subcommittee, and we went through the process with John to see how he uses these, what he needs at the end of the year to remain in the revolving funds so that we weren't trying to finagle things and leave things in the revolving funds that shouldn't be in there. But with COVID and all things related to government money, we used those grants first so that we didn't end up needing to use some of the revolving funds that we typically would use. So for instance, athletic fees, that's higher than typical. We had stated in our revolving fund memo that we would like to have around 200,000 in there at the end of each year. Hoping that we could put that aside for the turf field replacement. It is higher now than what we have typically had, but John is using more of that to help fund fiscal 23's athletic operating. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the biggest one that jumps out. I think, John,
in
I don't know whether
preschool tuitions. Preschool tuitions is high as well.
Right. I didn't know if we wanted to talk about that today or...
No, we can just mention preschool tuition available. You know, if I think I don't know that we'll have to dig into that, but it could be good for a 2-year plan, right? Mm-hmm. Because we could use those fundings to pay for teachers in the preschool operations and paras in the preschool operations, and free those up to use in other sections of the budget. And it does not impact your maintenance of effort because they're all local funds. So we're still maintaining our effort. So those could be, that's where I'm saying, I think we have the tools in place to have at least a good 2-year plan together for the school committee as the town works through all of the financial issues and we work towards that override and the other debt exclusions that have to take place.
Yeah, I noticed too, the school lunch fund has pretty much been
gutted.
Yeah.
Well, but so I did an estimate on those. I mean, this is where that expense and the receipts is where I think it may end up. we're in pretty good shape right now because the government's been paying. It's been free lunch, so we've made up. There might be, I'm hopeful that we're going to end a little bit higher than the 19 because I'm comfortable with like 3 months of a balance. But, you know, so that could swing. The government could throw in another $150,000. I'm not sure of those reimbursements. All I could do is go by the report that we have and say, okay, how many more reimbursements do I think I have coming? And, you know, what has our expense rate been for labor and for food? So, you know, that's showing only a positive $19,000, which isn't enough, but at least it's a sustainable account and it pays for everything.
Great.
Good.
Nice. And we are charging for the a la carte, correct?
Yes, correct.
Can I make a suggestion to this? When on this report that you add a footnote, an asterisk, a line item next to like athletic fees, like pull out the turf field, like identified reserve fund for the turf field so that it's shown on here that X amount of dollars are set aside. And then if for the preschool tuitions, if we're going to set aside, like identify fiscal 23, fiscal 24, this is like committed money so that it's not misinterpreted that we have money sitting around.
Right. I mean, I do put those notes on a sheet, but I just, I can only print so much here, you know.
If it's even just a line item below, like it's athletic fees, turf field. I mean, just put it front and center. So that it's clear, and it shows that we're being responsible with the money, it won't raise any questions.
Which I agree, and I think the footnote's a better way to go because if we pull it out and put it as its own line, it might look like it's restricted, and I don't want people to think that's restricted and we can't use it for operating.
If I would have a different interpretation of that. I mean, I know we can't use it for operating, but we've saved it all this time. We know we're going to have this capital item. If we didn't keep to our word, then you're going to face the capital item of $500,000, $600,000, and we have nothing to contribute to it. And it's like, we knew it was coming. So I would caution to not tap into that, just like the town doesn't tap into the dredging money, the mooring fees are set aside. For the dredging, it's a similar concept. The boaters use the harbor, the mooring fees go toward the dredging, the athletic, you know, the kids who are paying for sports, part of that fee goes to replace the turf fields. That's the concept. That's how I view it.
That makes sense, but I think what you're saying is it's not legally restricted, right?
Right,
so,
there are
legal requirements for a lot of these funds, so
From a municipal accounting perspective, I don't want it to look like it's a restricted fund.
I think whether it's a line item or a footnote or whatever, I mean,
I think it should be obvious.
Yeah. It could be unrestricted field use fund.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else have anything? Tim?
Can I just say this is more for the public because I know as someone who is in the public who is often a little bit confused in these discussions, what we're talking about when closing the gap that we're closing is between the budget that was submitted and the budget that was approved. So that's the fine arts director. That's the, I want to keep wanting to tie this discussion back to the fine arts director and those positions that are vital.
Yep.
Anyone sort of lost the thread of the conversation.
Right. Yes.
Using ESSER money and surplus money and fund balance money and all that. The gap that we're closing is to get a fine arts director and the other office staff, payroll manager, things like that, that were in the original budget, which are necessary positions in order for the schools to function, but we're not given by the town this year.
Right. Yeah. So. Thank you, Tim. I think we get in the weeds a little bit. So thank you for clarifying. Okay. Do we have any comments there, Matt?
Yeah.
Just state your name and address.
Matt Cosman, 12th Summit Drive, and maybe this is a little bit of a follow up on Tim's point. So just timing wise, I get there's another 3.5 months or whatever as puts and takes, but at some point you're going to have to make a call on. When are we going to go, you know, open up the rec to hire this person? And are we going to hire 13, hopefully, or I think it's 13. or are we going to hire 10 because the numbers changed? When will that be? Is it June 30th? Is it May 30th? Like, when is the call made by the school committee on, like, we are definitely going to hire all of these positions, or we're going to hire 10 of the 13, even though they're all incredibly important because the numbers didn't work?
I think what we're saying is we're going to hire all of them. Typically, we would wait until after town meeting to see what the town does, and then the day after, post the positions. Like, they're working on the job descriptions right now.
So no matter what happens with the budget, I'm not saying I don't support that. I just, no matter what happens with the budget, understanding things can change over the next 3 months, we're going to move forward with that no matter what.
Right. Yeah. I mean, April 30th, May 1st, town meeting, when we know we have an appropriation for next year, presumably at least what the advisory committee has already said that they would recommend, then we'll be in the newspaper the next week.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and because the thing is, the advisory committee and the select board have they voted and they're making the recommendation. Ultimately, it's up to the town. So we don't know, it could be lower than this for all we know. So. So that's the timeline. Okay. Anything on Facebook? No.
Can someone ask a Facebook question just so we can see if it works?
Well, somebody did say earlier on, the video is frozen. Is it anyone else or is it just me? And it was frozen earlier, and I haven't gotten any comments since.
Okay.
It is a little hard.
Sure.
I was on Facebook for the first 30 minutes. It is a little hard to hear. I know it's the first time that it was Elijah. That might be he was the best. He was most easily heard.
Because he's right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. We may want to have Carrie and Gary.
That's the most important part of it.
Not that we don't want to hear
Elijah. Let's do like a human microphone through Elijah.
Give a telephone.
We should all get our AirPods and Bluetooth them.
Yeah. No, just so, I mean, this is off topic, but just for everyone who's listening. We are going to try to get in a room that will enable live streaming through YouTube, so we'll be able to use Harbor Media's equipment, and it should be a lot easier to hear going forward. But we just wanted to try this today to make sure that there was some remote participation available.
But perhaps we should add microphones to the budget for
exactly.
Just in case.
Yep.
All speakers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, so nothing there. So I think you covered the principals, or search and the business director, so move forward to the calendar.
We have a couple of calendar iterations that we have presented. There are a number of challenges with both of them, and I know Dr. Jamie has worked tirelessly on trying to get these out to the committee, and we still need to work with the Hingham Education Association on any issues that may come about based on how the calendar falls into the workday, and that's something that's pending. So, I think one of the challenges that we have is relative to voting days, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that we're working through right now. The town, for years, has asked that we refrain from having school on election days. And that has been a challenge for our calendar, and it's something that is another request for next year. So we're working on that.
Does that include primary?
It's September and November.
Yeah.
Right. And does that include the primary in September?
It does. Okay. Yep. It was a request of the town clerk.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's something that, as you know, with snow days, it really puts us at the end of June, that's where we are this year. This year we're on the last day of school right now is the 24th of June. So when you look at Juneteenth and some of the other holidays that we have in the calendar, it keeps pushing us out, or we look at starting earlier, which is another situation. So those are the challenges we have. We've also looked at parent conference time change, which is another challenge that we have to work through. So those are our options that we have on the table.
I would just say, so until 2016, we usually had school on election day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine. I would obviously defer to talk to the building administrators about that. But if for primaries and kind of low turnout elections, mm-hmm. as long as they think they can make it work. It's I think we need to prioritize the education.
Yeah, and you know what? It's a request. It's mm-hmm. not a mandate.
Right.
And it's an ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But again, I think we have to take a look at how it impacts the school year, which we're challenged. I think to get out as late as we are is really very difficult.
Right.
We're starting earlier. We're getting out later. And I think that's one of the challenges that we have, you know.
Yeah. Does anyone have anything else on this? Questions, comments? No. Anyway.
I would agree with Carrie, because also it used to be that voters walked through the high school. In the new middle school, they're very isolated to the gym area. I realize there's a parking issue, but I'm sure we can communicate to staff and make sure people park in the appropriate place. But then in the high school, too, they changed where the election is. So it's always been in the gym, but they changed that you enter through the gym doors. You don't enter through the front door of the high school anymore. And I would say for sure, at the primary, I would have school. The general election this year, it's a state election. It's not presidential election, I can understand.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
But we got to get the days in. If we can, in the future, start school earlier to fit it all in, that's one thing. But as of right now, that's tough.
Yeah. Well, I think the direction that we have, based on your comments tonight, is I'll talk to the clerk and let them know that the desire of the school committee and the school district central office is to have school. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll see how far we get.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, so the next steps for this, is salary negotiations being looped in on this, or we're going to wait and see as far as the calendar?
We're going to wait.
What?
We're going to wait.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. So we'll put this on the next, whenever it's appropriate.
Yeah, I think we need to set up a meeting with the association and take a look at what that means.
Okay.
And that's something we can do.
Okay.
Carrie, I'm thinking, should I abstain from, we're not taking a vote on the calendar.
No, we're not.
No.
Yeah. Not tonight.
No.
But I do think, with through you, Carrie, I think one of the things that we need to do is, you know, parents, we get, Sherry, the administrative assistant to the superintendent, gets phone calls all year long. Have we set the calendar yet? Have we set the calendar yet? So
right.
I think that's one of the concerns that we have is we kind of want to get this thing established because everyone wants to know graduation date. You know, vacations don't change on that time of year, like April vacation, February vacation, those dates don't change. It's, you know, the holiday, December holidays, people really want to know those dates. They want to know start of school. They want to know when they can start planning, when they have to be back. So we want to try to get that out.
Yeah, and people have plans in June, too, and they
absolutely
kind of want to make sure that their kids mm-hmm. don't miss the end of the year. So,
okay. Correct.
There is a comment. Can we see a draft of the calendar? Is there some place for people to see that?
We don't.
I don't think we have that now, because there are a few different drafts, and I think it would be kind of confusing to put it up.
What we can do is try to narrow that down
okay.
by next meeting to have two drafts.
Okay.
And then try to get that as part of the agenda so people can actually see it.
Okay.
But I'd like to move along this quickly if we can, but again, mm-hmm. I think there's a number of steps we have to take to get it done.
Definitely. Yeah, and if we can at least figure out the election thing, that should help with...
That'll narrow it down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, can we tell, because it's only 2 days, the two possible days on the first day of school would that help people?
Yeah, I don't have that in front of me.
September 6th or 7th. So if there's... I thought we showed it last meeting. We just showed an example. But
we did.
So the Labor Day is Monday, September 5th.
Mm-hmm.
So the first day of school without observing the elections is Tuesday, September 6th
mm-hmm.
for children.
Yep.
And then kindergarten would start at the end of that.
And that's the dilemma is the start because of the election.
Correct. And if we observed the two... And right now, with that structure, the last day of school... without any snow days brings us to Thursday, June 15th. And again, if we observe the 2 days, it bumps us into the week, the last day of school potentially being Tuesday, June 20th, because of the Juneteenth observance on the Monday of that week of June, which then potentially pushes the last day of school to June 28th.
Right.
Which is the hesitancy to push to observe the elections, because it potentially, if we observe five snow days, it puts us into literally June 28th or 29th, depending.
And that is not a good position to be in.
No.
Because if you go past the 5 days, we have to end the school year in June. We cannot go into July, and then you start taking away from vacation days.
Right.
So it's really, it kind of puts us in a bind.
And then I was thinking, and if you want to start another year before Labor Day, really shortens the summer.
Very much so.
Right? Yeah. I mean, you're not out until June 30th, and you're starting August 31st. Yeah.
Well, and that's why parents want to know the dates.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Understandably. Mm-hmm. All right. So it sounds like we'll move that along.
I think there was a question in the audience.
Yeah. Okay, Matt. Can you go to the microphone?
Matt Cosman, 12 Summit Drive. Just at the risk of piling on, I really think that the election days do not need to be observed, because in that scenario, even with no snow days, you're pushed into Tuesday after a three-day weekend. It is just that for students, for parents, for teachers, administration. I'm sure administration still needs to be there. Like, that's just not a great situation. I did look up. It's like 2,000 votes in the primary. I mean, that is not in an off election year primary. I would strongly advocate for not having the election day, having the kids in school on election days.
Thank you.
Okay. So
I think,
anything else? No? Okay. 9.1 is to discuss Metco kindergarten fees and act as appropriate. Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So I mentioned under subcommittee reports, I think at our last meeting, that I had attended the Metco kindergarten registration with Carol Perez and with potential Metco parents. And one of the things that dawned on me during the conversation was that we are very actively trying to attract more Metco students to our district, and we are competing with 33 other metro districts, most of which do not have a kindergarten tuition. So the Metco grant that's paid by the state to cover the expenses of Metco families actually can be applied to the kindergarten tuition. So we've only been accepting Metco students for the last 2 years, right? I think this was our second year.
In kindergarten.
Sorry. Yes, we're doing that since 1960. Sorry, accepting Metco kindergarten students. This coming school year will be the third. So I think talking with John and Gary, we just thought that, if we needed to take a vote or just give John the direction to apply the Metco grant to any incoming Metco kindergarten tuitions.
Yes?
I mean, the Metco grant should be monitored and performed by the Metco director, right? So if Carol Perez wanted to go ahead and use some of the Metco grant for that, couldn't she just do that without us taking a vote?
That is a good question. That was the only thing that we were.
I think we should take a vote because we have a sliding scale for tuition. So we're modifying the scale by allowing any Metco student grant money to be applied to a Metco student's tuition as part of that sliding scale. That's basically what we're doing. But we should take a vote to modify that.
Yeah. Tuition. I mean, just from listening, it seems like if the program is funded through the state grant and we're charging tuition, that almost seems like double charging for the Metco students. So, yeah.
Yeah, just like there's not any other towns that have a Metco program and that charge for that, you know, that full day kindergarten. It not doesn't seem equitable to those students. Mm-hmm. And given that they have that grant, the funds are there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tim?
And I just want to make it clear, this is not tax money that Hingham families have paid. Mm-hmm. That's paying for the kindergarten, and it's also not allowing them into the kindergarten for free. It's right. They're admitted into the kindergarten with for the same admission that all the other kids are admitted into. It just instead of their families paying for it, the Medco grant will pay for it. Mm-hmm. But it's not taking Hingham's money and paying for some kids' kindergarten. That's not what this is.
That's
at
right.
all.
Yeah,
so I just think we need to be really clear about that,
yep.
because I can understand some parents getting upset about that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
I would hate to see a student not be able to come for kindergarten
yeah.
because our town charges, you know, for
right.
all
and others don't.
Yeah, or students not want, or families not wanting
yeah,
to send their kids because
doesn't.
They can go to send them to Lexington and
yeah.
you know for free. So,
mm-hmm.
yep. Okay, so what would this vote look like?
Well, I guess the question is, because Ness brought it up, is who, John, do you have oversight on the Medco grant funds, or does Carol's as the director of?
It's really Carol's, I mean, she's in charge of
she's
like
the administrator.
Administering the grant.
So then maybe the vote, thank you. So, and thanks for bringing it up. So maybe the vote is just to, authorize feels like a strong word, to,
support Carol's.
To support Carol's Perez.
Encourage.
And I'm trying to think of what the right word is.
It just seems to me that we would be taking a vote for everything that she's doing through the grant then. If we take this vote, I don't know. I still
the
have
motion,
time.
I'll make a motion. To modify the sliding scale tuition for the full day kindergarten tuition sliding scale to allow Medco grant money to be applied for the tuition for any Medco student attending the full day kindergarten.
Can we strike the word allow and just say to
use?
To use?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be clear that it's not making an assumption that Medco families can't pay the tuition either, because
right.
the sliding scale
yeah.
is about means and this isn't. What that is
right,
so
correct.
That's an editorial. It's not to the language. All right. Do we have a second? For
second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Okay. So that's approved. 9.2 is to receive the South Shore Educational Collaborative Fiscal Year 2023 proposed budget.
Yeah, I put into your school committee packet the budget that's being proposed for South Shore Community Collaborative, and it's something that they submit every year. I go to the board meetings once a month, and we discussed it this year. And one of the challenges they have this year is staffing. Their numbers are down because just pure staffing concerns, getting highly qualified people to meet the need of requests that school districts have. Their budget is a challenge this year. Because some of those staffing concerns, but the budget that is proposed is in your packet for this evening. Mm-hmm.
Do you need a vote from us, or how does that work?
What I would do tonight to support the collaborative is to take a vote to support the budget as presented through the collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
That would help them to move forward.
Okay. Now, it looks like they proposed either a 3% member tuition increase and with a 5% non-member, or a 4% member increase with a 6%.
Yes, and that percentage increases to support some of the challenges that they have,
mm-hmm.
Costs that they realize, very similar to what we see in our school district.
Right. So do we need to weigh in on that, or?
Not necessarily, unless you feel you need to. If you need more information, we'd have to, I'd have to be more specific and get more information for you,
okay.
if you want more detail.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments on this?
Just a small question.
Yep.
Of our students going to the collaborative, did we budget for a 3 or 5-4% increase in their tuition?
Three. We use it, typically use three.
Do you know, you may not offhand, how many students we have at the collaborative?
Sorry.
I know.
It's about $1 million. So we're looking at, you know, either $30,000 or $50,000 increase. 30 is imputed.
Okay.
So
okay.
it's $20,000 wild card.
So
okay. And, you know, that could be spent by grant, too. So,
yep.
you know, there's funding that could be available.
Okay.
We also utilize the collaborative for temporary placements.
Mm-hmm.
Services like
home services,
teacher visually impaired,
mm-hmm.
Home services, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That
we don't hire a full-time person for, but we use them for contracted services.
Great. Yeah. I don't know, I would support the 4%, 6% budget. Just
That's what they were hoping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But again, if you need more detail, I can get that for you.
Okay. All right. Would you like to make a motion?
I will make a motion to approve the proposed member tuition increase of 4% and non-member tuition increase of 6% for the fiscal year 2023 for South Shore Educational Collaborative.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. All right.
Thank you. I'll let the executive director know that that was an affirmative for the 4-6 split.
Okay, great. Thank you. 9.3 is to receive spring coaching recommendations.
Yeah, tonight in your agenda you have high school spring coaching recommendations that were provided by the high school. This is the majority of coaches. We're still waiting on some of those coaches have not passed their CORI, and we're waiting for the CORI to come back. So this office is actually running those CORIs, and there's a few that haven't been approved yet because it's just they're in process. So this is the high majority of coaches that we have on the docket for approval, and I recommend that you approve the coaches that are on the list tonight.
Anyone in the public? No. Anyone on Facebook?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll check in 20 seconds.
Okay.
I need to act right.
We don't need to act right. Okay.
And keep in mind that we'll have more.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that non-action is probably the best.
Yep. I don't think you need action from us anyway.
No.
Yeah.
It's just we want to know.
Yep.
9.4 is to receive a homeschool application for a student in grade 5.
Yes, this, the application in your pack tonight meets all the requirements set forth by the school committee, and I recommend approval of that application.
Okay. Somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the superintendent's recommendation to approve the homeschool application for a student in grade 5 for May through June 2022.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay. 10 is subcommittee and project reports. So and warrant signed. So Tim, Elijah, you already went. So Tim, we usually start at this end of the table. So.
Sure. We're going to have a special education subcommittee on the 31st of March, which is a week from Thursday at 4:00 in the afternoon, and that'll be here in the school committee conference room.
Great. Thank you, Jen.
The policy subcommittee will be meeting this Thursday, March 23rd, mm-hmm. and then we're also having our first capital facilities master plan committee meeting this Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm sorry. Policy subcommittee, March 24th.
There's a Hingham Education Foundation meeting tomorrow at 6:00.
That's right. And did you want to mention their event, too?
Yes, they're having a awesome on the date April 30th, they're having a 1920s party at the South Shore Country Club. It'll be awesome. I have my ticket. So get your tickets. They'll go.
Yeah, they will.
Yes.
Carlos?
Climate Action Committee met on March 2nd. We had recommended to the Board of Selectmen. They approved the hiring of the consultant firm, what is the name? I don't want to say the wrong name. I just had it. Anyhow, Energized, something like that. So, which is great. Additionally, the sustainability director position has been recommended by both at EdCon and the Board of Select the person. So that will move forward to the town meeting. Next meeting is the 24th. And also South School Council, the School Council, we are meeting tomorrow, 9 a.m. Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Liza?
The wellness, we are still waiting on some booster reports that getting a little frustrated with, but once we get those outstanding reports, we can do a further follow-up report on all the work we've been doing. And salary negotiations, we should schedule a meeting prior to the April 12th mm-hmm. group meeting with the select board and the advisory committee to make sure we're in sync on what we're going to present or say at that. So I'll follow up with everybody about planning for that.
Great. Thank you. Linda? Yeah, it was part of the Finance, Capital, and Facilities Subcommittee meeting we met on Wednesday. We talked through what capital outlay ended up giving us, and the administration's gone through a process to figure out how to prioritize that. And then we talked about the operating budget, so much of what we heard tonight. Mm-hmm. And then there's some signed warrants in your packet.
Great. Thank you. Michelle?
I don't have anything to report.
Okay. And I will report that. So the PRS School Council met on March 14th. I wasn't able to attend, but Principal Lamas mentioned that the building committee has worked through the windows project and has chosen some colors for the external facade of Plymouth River of charcoal gray and black. So I wanted to share that.
Big
yeah,
progress.
Yeah, exactly.
It took a long time to come to that decision. Just going to throw that out there.
And then the school council will meet again on April 11th. Okay, so we're now at items that may not reasonably be known 48 hours in advance of the meeting. Does anyone have anything?
Can I tell you how many students are at the collaborative?
Yes.
Four yeah. Classes.
We have 12 that are full-time students.
Okay. Wow. Okay. All right, great. So, yeah, so we work with them regularly.
We do work with them regularly. Yeah. We have a really nice relationship with them.
Yeah, great. Okay, thank you for looking that up.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
I will make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And thanks for everybody. Everyone who logged in and people who came and sat through the meeting.
Yeah.